Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Ralph Russo does a great job as a senior college football writer for The Athletic. We're still trying to figure out where the Lane plane is today and what's going on with Lane Kiffin. Is he going to go to LSU? Is he going to go to Florida? Or is he going to stay at Ole Miss? And we inch another weekend closer to conference championship weekend, rivalry weekend, and then also the Heisman Trophy being presented as well. So a lot cooking in college football. Obviously, Lane Kiffin is the biggest story, but you do got Missouri and Oklahoma. You do got USC and Oregon as some of the headliners this upcoming weekend in college football. And we should get Ralph on in just a second. And when we do, oh, we're good. All right, well, let's go out to the guest line right now. Welcome in Ralph Russo, senior college football writer for The Athletic. Ralph, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
You, man, it's a busy, busy, busy time in college football right now.
Yeah, what does your gut tell you on Lane Kiffin? Because one day I wake up, I say he's staying at Ole Miss. The next day I say he's going to Florida. The next day I'm going to LSU and then back to Ole Miss. So where are you at right now?
Yeah, I don't know if I would ever try to read the mind of Lane Kiffin. The reason why this stuff becomes very difficult, Zach, is it really only takes like one conversation with the family. I think I may have discussed this with you last time we were on here, and if not, I apologize. You know, it's like you try to get inside these guys' heads, but you never know if all of a sudden you sit down with the wife, or in this Lane's case, the ex-wife, and the family, the daughter and the son, and they say, "Hey, Dad, you know, we're okay with you doing this, or we would really like you to do that," and all of a sudden that makes, you know, the light bulb goes on and they say, yeah, you know, let's try to do that. We do know LSU wants him. Florida wants him. Ole Miss wants to keep him. I think Ole Miss is prepared to make him a very healthy offer. Listen, I don't think you send your family to these places to check them out if you're not seriously thinking about, you know, leaving. So, you know, let the actions guide you to a certain degree. As for what he'll do, it's already a weird situation. Again, Ole Miss would basically has told him, hey, man, we really want to know before we play again on Black Friday against Mississippi State. So Lane Kiffin sort of holds all the cards here. I refuse to guess what he will do. But I will say, again, the fact that he's sort of sent his family on recognizance missions ahead of him down to these places does suggest he is at least taking the possibility of leaving seriously.
There's so many different iterations of college football. You've seen pretty much all of them. With that being said, the last 24 hours, the thing that I'm livid about is the system. Like, if you're leaving a team to go take a bigger job, and let's just say you're playing some irrelevant bowl game, that's fine. But the fact that he could be in the college football playoff and there's a chance that he abandons these players to go take Florida or LSU, like, okay, you want to take a new job, take a new job. But the fact it's allowed that he could leave before the college football playoff, that just doesn't sit right with me.
Well, So that's a fair thing to say, Zach, but I will say this, right? You know, again, he's got a big extension on the table. He's already in the SEC. He already has a national championship team. So when you say he's going to take a bigger job, is he? You know, like, he's got a pretty good job. Like, it's one thing if, and I know this is happening with other coaches around the country, I'm going to just pull a coach out of the air. If I'm Tulane coach John Summerall, and I got Auburn pressuring me, hey man, we really need a decision from you. That's a little different.
Yeah.
I think Tulane, I think Auburn, I think a coach like John Summerall all kind of know the deal here, right? You might be able to work around it and say, hey, like, I'm going to stay with my team, but maybe we can announce something and we'll just see what happens here. I think everybody kind of understands that deal. When you're talking about a coach remember, the two teams that he's talking to are behind Ole Miss right now in the rankings. He's got the sixth-ranked team in the country. So, again, I think that's what makes this more complicated. It's not like he's not going to get a whole lot of money from Ole Miss. You're right. The system isn't great because there really is no system. You couldn't do this in the NFL. But I don't want to take all the responsibility away from the coach himself in this and other situations because he already has a really good job.
Well, let me ask you this, and I agree with you on in terms of last year when this was talked about. I said I wouldn't leave Ole Miss right now to go to Florida. Now Florida has popped back up. LSU is into the fold. I guess they officially just terminated Brian Kelly today. You got all this stuff with the governor, new AD, new president. Like, this has all been all over the place. But I look at it and I say, hey, LSU, since 2000, they've had three different coaches win national championships. How do you think people are viewing the LSU job right now?
Yeah, I think the day or the days where all that drama played out, I'll say what I said then, which is this doesn't look great. I'm not sure if this possibly could make some coaches a little hesitant to come to LSU because who is my boss? Am I going to have to answer to the governor? The governor is complaining about my future contract. Is that going to impact it? All that said, LSU is not going to get out of the game of trying to win national championships. So as long as you can have a clear boss, and they have a president now, president of the university, they have an athletic director now. That was hazy, literally, at the time that they fired Brian Kelly. If you can get assurances that, hey, Gov, you're not going to be like meddling with the football team, I think LSU is still going to pay top line. So I'm not worried that all of a sudden LSU is going to like have nobody who wants to come coach LSU, or they're going to have to go hire some high school coach. Like, that's not going to happen. But I do wonder if you have a good job, if there's a little bit of hesitancy to give up the good job that you have to step into some uncertainty at LSU. And I'm sure that's very much what Lane Kiffin is going to have to weigh. Like, I have a good job. LSU might be an upgrade in some ways, but, you know, is there uncertainty here in alignment and who am I answering to? I would think that LSU needs to explain that to Lane Kiffin.
We did a segment.
Or anybody else, for that matter.
Sure. Ralph Russo here with us. We did a segment the other day. If Lane doesn't leave, like, what happens to LSU? What happens to Florida? I threw out Kenny Dillingham, regardless of what he said, for LSU, and then Florida. I didn't love the name that I gave, but I ended up going with Jed Fish. Who do you think are some possible names for Florida and LSU if the Lane plane says I'm staying in Oxford, Mississippi?
So I think Jed Fish is probably a pretty good guess as whether he is the guy. I think he is probably one of the guys that will be on the list. Jed at Florida, Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri, I could see in the mix at both of these places. The Dillingham thing, you know, Zach, I'm going to believe Kenny. And maybe I'll be proved wrong. I think he is young enough, has a good enough situation there. That's his alma mater. That, like, if he's going to come out and say, hey, man, I kind of want to be here. I think I'm good. I'm going to take him at his word because I think it means something to him to be the person who goes back on his word, to be the person who, like, basically will be accused of, like, you know, crushing your alma mater on the way out. So, listen, Kenny's stock is rising, and I understand why people would still kick down tires, but I'm going to take him for his word. As for who would end up at LSU, you know, plan B, the name Jeff Brohm has come up. Again, Dillingham, I wouldn't be shocked if they sort of looked into Clark Lee, though that does from Vanderbilt, though that does not sound like a really good fit for me. Again, like I have no doubt that LSU will find itself a good coach. But who's sort of on, again, in the plan B list? I'm not sure they really, I think Florida especially, but LSU, I'm not sure. I think they put a lot of, both of those schools have put a lot of energy into Lane. So I'm not sure how well they have developed the plan B list.
When we get to Penn State, do you think it will either be Eli Drinkwitz or Bob Chesney as the next head football coach? One of those two at this point?
I think that's a solid betting odds. Here's what I would say on Penn State. I think there's been enough, is quietness the right word? I feel like there has been enough, like, not like there's a little bit of a lack of information coming out of there that makes me wonder if there's something up the sleeve there that we're not seeing. How about that? And again, that's just me reading tea leaves, because with the experience of how sometimes these things work, right? It seems like they've done a good job of keeping the wraps on what they're working on there. I've heard Pat Fitzgerald's name come up there, though, quite frankly, if they wanted Pat Fitzgerald, they could hire him today or tomorrow, right? We saw this model with Virginia Tech and James Franklin. They understood the value of getting out ahead of something, and since Franklin was available, they did it. It's good to move things along right now. You have a little more time to assess the roster and to make sure guys don't get in the portal, see what's in the portal. So as much as you hear chatter about Pat Fitzgerald, who's on the sideline like James Franklin was at Penn State, I find myself thinking, if they really wanted to hire Pat Fitzgerald, they would just hire Pat Fitzgerald. The Bob Chesney thing, I think, is interesting. You know, I don't know if that would have necessarily been their first choice, but I could see them sort of backing into a really good choice, even though it might not have been Penn State's first choice.
Now, I was a big proponent of James Franklin's time coming to an end at Penn State. With that being said, I think he maxed out at Penn State for what he is as a coach. I think him going to Virginia Tech is a great landing spot, because it's not in the Big Ten. It's not in the SEC. I know he's had success in both those conferences, but you could go win 8, 9, 10, you know, games a year at Virginia Tech, win a conference championship here or there, and it's viewed a whole lot differently than what it was happening at Penn State. Is this a home run hire for you when you look at it for both sides?
Yeah, I'm always a little hesitant to put that home run term on things, because sometimes you never know how things work out, right? Like maybe we'll find out in, in 5 years we may find out, or maybe less than that, 2 or 3 years, maybe we'll find out, you know what, it would have been best for James to take a step away, gather himself, do some self-assessment. But I understand why he got back in. There's so many good jobs out there, and he's really motivated to do so. I agree, this looks like a really good fit. You have a very well-accomplished coach who has always been a good program builder. You know, again, we can all say, like, you know, what happened at, whether it was right or wrong, what happened at Penn State. Maybe it was time for those two sides to go in different directions. But nobody at Penn State was, like, complaining the program was falling apart behind the scenes. The culture was disintegrating. James didn't have control. He was melting down. Like, I think you heard a lot of things about the bad fit with Brian Kelly at LSU and why that didn't work out. I don't think that was the case with Penn State and James Franklin. So you bring a program builder who's got good ties to recruiting in the area down there, the DMV area. You would think that, as you said, the other part of it, there's opportunity to win in the ACC. And that's a program that they love football. They have a big stadium. They fill that stadium. There's motivation for Virginia Tech to be good at football, even though it's been a bit of a rough ride for them. It does seem like this is a good match that he is at least capable of getting Virginia Tech into position where it can contend for ACC championships. And I think, unlike at Penn State, he will be appreciated for that, where I think Penn State was no longer appreciating, hey, we're just going to be in the mix for the Big Ten.
Wrap it up with Ralph Russo. So Oklahoma had the huge win last week up against Alabama. They wrap up the season with Missouri and LSU. Do you anticipate this team being 10-2 at the end of the regular season?
I do, though. This week's game, you know, we're talking about Bo Prabhula possibly playing. You know, I was at that Vanderbilt game when he got injured, and I think a lot of us thought, well, that takes care of poor Bo. But, you know, if he plays, now you have a I don't know. If, you know, listen, he had a pretty severe ankle injury. And if his mobility is limited, well, that's a big part of his game. That said, the backup is a freshman, and I'll take my chances with a limited Bo Prabhula, who's played a lot of football, against a freshman quarterback making his third or fourth, the second or third start against Brent Venables' defense. So if Bo is playing, and it sounds like it's trending that way, I think these teams are a lot closer than maybe we realize. You know, Oklahoma's got the number one defense in the SEC. Missouri, I believe, has the number two by yards per play. So despite the big win last week, I would be a little hesitant to just pencil in Oklahoma, and they're on the fast track to the playoff now. I think this will be a heavy lift for them, the Sooners, on Saturday against Mizzou.
For Oregon, they have USC, then Washington. They have one loss on the season. Before the season, you feel like, all right, two losses are fewer. You're in the college football playoff. But with their resume being what it is, does Oregon have to win out to make the playoff this year?
I don't think it has to. But I just don't think you have to be, you don't have to create some wild scenarios where there's a pretty good stockpile of 10-2 teams. I mean, we just mentioned Oklahoma, maybe Vanderbilt. Like the SEC could end up with six teams sitting there 10-2, 11-1. You know, you throw in what's going on with the Big 12, and what if BYU wins and then Texas Tech is an at-large pool? We're still doing this whole Miami and Notre Dame thing.
I don't want to interrupt you, but you know what's funny with the Notre Dame thing? It's like an unwritten rule that if Notre Dame's two losses or fewer, with the way that this playoff format was created, that they're getting in every year. Like, people just aren't mentioning this when they're talking about the Notre Dame-Miami debate. And the only reason Notre Dame had to win out last year because they lost to NIU. Like, if they lose to respectable programs, which they did this year, two losses or fewer Notre Dame was designed to get into this playoff.
I think to a certain degree, yes. Though, again, if you look at the logjam at 10-2, I think everybody has to be a little uncomfortable, whether you're Notre Dame or Oregon. And I know everybody thinks Notre Dame gets a benefit of the doubt. Frankly, Notre Dame's played really, really well. I mean, I've been on the Miami side of this argument, like, hey, why is Miami getting shut out and not Notre Dame? But I think my argument has been more of, it's not necessarily Miami or Notre Dame. Why can't it be both? When you talk about Oregon, yeah, I would not be comfortable any of these teams sliding into that 10-2 mix. If I can avoid that, and if I'm Oregon and I can avoid it by knocking out USC, getting myself to 11-1, feeling real comfortable about that, that's probably best for Oregon, because you're right. I just think that, like, once you start weighing these resumes and eye tests and all that stuff with like six 10-2 teams, why do you want to put yourself through that stress?
Last thing I'll ask you, just to throw a dart on the board, we don't know who's going to win their conferences and what the seeding's going to look like. If you just had to give me the two teams that you think will be in the national championship game this year, who do you think those two teams would be?
Oh, that's a cool question. You know, I'm going to say Ohio State and Georgia. I feel like Ohio State has separated itself to a certain degree. And that's no offense to Indiana. And we'll see those two teams play most likely in the Big Ten championship game. And I'm not going to, you know, doubt Coach Siggs can't pull one off there. I like what I've seen out of Georgia in terms of progress throughout the season. The other thing too, Zach, is I know Georgia has athletes that will look like Ohio State's athletes, right? Maybe they don't have the Jeremiah Smith at wide receiver, and maybe they don't have exactly Caleb Downs at safety and Arvell Reese at linebacker, but there's enough five stars, there's enough high level NFL caliber athletes that if I get Georgia on the field with anybody in the playoff, they're not going to be athletically overwhelmed the way I fear Ohio State can do to some other teams because they're just so stacked.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned Georgia, just because all year I feel like we've just been saying Georgia's vulnerable, Georgia's vulnerable. They find the way to win against Tennessee. They find the way to pull it out against Ole Miss. I said the same thing yesterday. I would love to be Georgia right now. Like, I think Georgia's humming, and I think a lot of us wrote them off, and they could be a scary team come playoff time.
The big thing, Zach, is this happened with Saban's teams too, to a certain degree. You get compared to yourself.
Yeah.
This is not 2021 Georgia. It's not 2022 Georgia that basically had, I don't know, the Philadelphia Eagles defense. What was that Georgia defense? Just go look at the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
That's what Georgia had on defense in those years. It's not quite that level Georgia, but they're still really good compared to the rest of the country, even if they are a step behind what they were in three, four years ago.
He is a senior college football writer for The Athletic, one of the best in the business, Ralph Russo. Ralph, appreciate the time. Thank you.
Always appreciate you, Zach.
There you go. Yep, you got it. There you go. Ralph Russo with us. Take a break. We'll come on back in 5 minutes. It is The Zach Gelb Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.